The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Bigger Picture. Well, we are looking at a lower start to Wednesday's trading. A couple of mixed signals coming overnight from the US-China trade front, from Donald Trump's comments saying a deal is close, but at the same time, he is slamming China as being the world's biggest cheater. What do you make out of this? Let's get a bigger picture from Manpreet Gill. He is the head of FICC Investment Research at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Morning, Manpreet. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan.
Hey, Manpreet, I'm just going to get help first to lay out the week for us. We've been getting this back and forth sentiment on the trade front. What are you making out of the current sentiment? We've been still seeing Wall Street hitting new highs.
Absolutely. And I think there are two sort of broad trends that we're keeping an eye on going to this week and indeed a little further than that. Trade, of course, is one of those. And, you know, that's unfortunately a binary event. It remains a potential source of volatility until and unless a deal is signed. But again, if anything, we sort of are taking it slightly more optimistic than during sort of prior attempts. And the second, of course, your point on sentiment, very valid, because, look, trade, of course, a worry, but actually a lot of, you know, high-frequency measures of both economic growth and sentiment, if anything, are showing tentative signs of bottoming. And to us, that's actually quite an important factor behind why markets might be rallying, and is actually more important than I'd say that the headline would make it out to be at the moment, at least.
Manpreet, so looking at the US-China trade progress, how do you see this panning out with all the back-and-forth action? It seems like we are getting a bit of optimism. Are we looking out for a deal being signed at the NATO summit coming up in early December?
Well, I think the lesson of trade negotiations is that we don't have a deal until a deal is actually done. Mm. But having said that, we've always been proponents that look a limited deal of some sort, or what Trump calls, of course, a phase one deal, is possible in areas which are less controversial, and that's what seems to be happening. I think what is key here is that looking out at least between now and for the next year or so, there are arguably rising incentives for both sides to at least put a pause on tensions to a phase one type deal, because in the US, of course, you have the upcoming election next year, and of course, China, you know, economic growth, of course, has been under some pressure, and this helps alleviate that pressure a little bit. That would be positive. So that's the reason why at the moment we still think there's a higher chance than during previous attempts that we do get a deal. And for markets, we think that'll take one big cloud away, at least for the next 6 to 12 months.
All right, Manpreet, still on Donald Trump. He gave some interesting comments once again on Fed Chief Jerome Powell. He's calling for lower rates. In fact, he wants negative interest rates. So I'm just zooming in on the spotlight on the Fed Chief Jerome Powell, who's going to be giving his testimony tonight to Congress to give his current economic outlook. Do you think we can expect, you know, him to hint of low rates being longer for a long time with what's happening in the US economy?
Well, I think the Fed does face a difficult balancing act. I mean, let's not forget that the Fed is coming off having made a few rate cuts in the current cycle already. And what does weaken the case for further rate cuts from here is what the point you made earlier about sentiment and high-frequency indicators potentially rebounding a little bit from here. So I think that's where data dependency is likely to be what's emphasized the most. We have seen these statements from Trump before. I think in the short term, you know, the Fed is still likely to maintain its focus on, you know, ultimately its dual mandate of growth and inflation and what the data tells it. Trump's comments do raise a broader question about what is, you know, central bank mandates and the debates sort of happening around that, and the move from monetary policy to, in Europe, for example, that debate is most advanced about whether fiscal policy should be a driver or stimulator of growth. But to me, those are much longer-term factors. I think this week, we'll see a renewed focus on the data.
We are chatting with Manpreet Gill. He is the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Manpreet, turning our attention to closer to home, in Hong Kong, we're getting reports that Alibaba's secondary listing has been approved by the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. How much of this is a vote for confidence for Hong Kong's stock market, especially if you look at what's happening with the economy in technical recession after 5 months of street protests?
Well, I think that's where, from an investor's perspective, you know, Hong Kong equities are interesting because while the domestic economy, of course, in a technical recession, but a significant share of earnings, both the lease and listing sort of illustrates, do come from China. So for us, you know, following China macro data is actually the most important thing. And that's where, you know, we still take, you know, a relatively more positive stance within the region. We do actually like Chinese onshore equities a lot. But of course, you can see how some of that performance may spill over into parts of the Hong Kong market where the earnings actually come from China or or elsewhere. I think it also raises the point that, you know, when we think about investing in many markets, including Hong Kong equities, but also other markets like London, buying the stock market doesn't necessarily mean buying the local economy or local earnings. A lot of the earnings come from elsewhere. And for us in Asia, the risk reward is actually most interesting, we think, in China equities. And if the trade deal does sort of gather momentum and looks like it'll be signed, we think South Korean equities tend to be quite trade sensitive. So that's another market which we think could respond quite positively from a trade deal.
All right. Manpreet, we were catching up on your shopping from Singles Day on Monday, and you were picking up some bargains on the stock market. Manpreet, what was on your shopping list and what's still looking attractive right now for people to pick up?
Well, for me, it's still about, you know, which regions, which countries, which sectors I like to do well. And I think for us, the most important factor is the part about sentiment potentially rebounding, some high-frequency data potentially rebounding. And the case for that, in our view, is strongest in the U.S. And that's really where we're much more focused. And I think that's where I'd be buying. And to be honest, I'd be happy even with broad-based U.S. exposure, even before getting into, you know, a sort of more specific sector exposure. Europe, though, does look interesting. And I think that's one market which has been beaten down. Obviously, the earnings outlook not as interesting, but, you know, bond yields are a whole lot lower. So relative to bond yields and relative to U.S. equity, European equities do look like they're pricing in, you know, much worse economic outlook than other markets. So actually, the developed market equities is where I'm looking. And also in emerging on the emerging market side, more on the bond side, actually, and local currency bonds looking more and more interesting.
Hey, Manpreet, just to wrap things up, you mentioned some markets like the U.S. So diving into the sectors, what is looking exciting for you? I'm getting a lot of news around Disney Plus, Tesla. Are these in your picture?
Absolutely. I think the technology sector has been, you know, clearly a dominant part of this rally. So, you know, if we do see the broad market recover, that in our view, you know, will be one part of it. But I think it's broadly about cyclical sectors. You know, when we had sort of some stress over the summer, clearly there was a move to defensives. But in a broader market rally, especially we see, you know, global equities break to new highs. U.S. equities already have, but, you know, at a global level, they haven't quite done so yet. And if we see that occur, it'll be growth-oriented cyclical sectors like industrial, like technology, which we think will lead the rally. So that to us is one part of the allocation which should benefit from a rebound. And of course, of course, keeping it balanced with, of course, a small allocation to gold is something we've always discussed. That may pull back in the short term, but we think that's still a good source of insurance to have on the other side of the allocation, together with, of course, a broad range of bonds.
All right, tech and energy among the sectors, and gold also something to look out for. We've been chatting with Manpreet Gill. He is the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Manpreet, thank you so much. Always great chatting with you. I'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.